This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Blackhawk fans, you might have a playoff team here.
Ooh, hey,
okay, so remember this is how... Go ahead.
Remember, beginning of the season when they made the move.
Yeah, I mean,
when they kicked out Q.
Yes, we were told this is a playoff team.
This is a playoff team. And all it took was a pandemic for them to become a playoff team. So, props to them.
Tuning in tonight and you're like, Black Abdallah, what are you talking about? The Blackhawks is a playoff team? Well, it seems as if the NHL Players Association and the proposal that they set forth, they started talking about last night. We should find out at some point tonight whether or not it passes. It's starting to leak out that this will be approved. Thus, the NHL will come back for the end of the 2020 season with a 24-team conference-based playoff format. Thus, expanding from 16 teams to 24, your Chicago Blackhawks will make the playoffs. How about that? Now, obviously, we are waiting for the confirmation, but it seems as if from TSN and other places that the players are going to agree to this idea that there will be a couple of bubble cities and that we will head towards the playoffs in the NHL. There will not be a finish of the regular season, but basically what we'll get is 24 teams fighting for the Stanley Cup. And if this passes tonight, they will be the first major sport in America that will set forth saying that they're officially back. And I think that's major news as well.
Yeah, and you know, if you go through some of the various, you know, TSN reporters and whatnot, there are still some NHL players that are a little wary of coming back quickly and how what's going to happen if a player tests positive on a team, what's going to happen to that team, what's going to happen to the team that they played, are they only going to quarantine that player, all that kind of stuff. All that stuff will be worked out. You have to work out all that planning before, but whatever, dude, I'm up for whatever at this point. Like, just play. Like, I'm not, you know, the NHL and the NBA have the luxury of not having to go through a labor argument during this because their season was already almost done. So just doing this and whatever the NBA does and whatever bubble cities that they decide to do, you know, that's fine too. They don't have to worry about arguing about pay. So right now, the faster they can come back, the better it is for the sport. And the players are starting to get itchy too. A lot of the NBA players are starting to get itchy. Some of the NHL players are starting to get itchy. They just want to finish the season. You know, LeBron and the Lakers have a chance to win a championship, whether there's going to be an asterisk or whatever symbol you want to put next to it. Look, the Blackhawks still have two of the best players in the NHL. So to put them into this format, I'm not saying they're going to win, but they can make some noise.
Well, yeah, right. And what's the one thing that we always hear when you get to the NHL playoffs? Anyone can win it, right? Eight seeds upset one seeds all the time. It's something that we see. Teams get a hot goaltender. Can Corey Crawford get hot for a month in this Hub City pandemic playoff that we're going to have this summer? Can the Blackhawks ride that for a month straight to at least make a run here? And I think that's what's so interesting. There is news in the NBA tonight as well. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting to ESPN that some franchises in restricted markets like New York, Boston, Toronto, they're inquiring to the NBA on an option for players to bypass the return to their own cities in June and report directly to the proposed bubbles that will take place to start their training camp. So like the NHL, the NBA, this is moving towards, we at some point in the near future will have dates on the calendar that we can look forward to where we know sports will take place. Now, we don't have a guarantee on when it specifically, how it will play out, how everyone will stay safe, all the logistics to that. But I think it's very helpful that tonight we sit here once again on a Friday night, Bleck and Abdallah with you on ESPN 1000, and we are starting to get the momentum of the major sports here in America kind of getting a foot placeholder into the spot to where they're going to try and figure out how to get this done. And I think the NHL one that's so interesting, Abdallah, is we talk about the Blackhawks here. 24 teams get in. You know, this season was disappointing for the Chicago Blackhawks. Think about it. A couple of weeks ago, they fired John McDonough. Do you think that John McDonough gets fired if this team is a playoff team? I'm not quite sold on that, because look at the way the last couple of years have been for the Chicago Blackhawks. Championship team a couple of years ago, then you miss the playoffs and back-to-back seasons. It's leaning that way. If the season ended today, they would not be a playoff team. But all of a sudden now, when you go from 16 to 24, you're a playoff team. I wonder if the Wirtz family looks at this situation and say, okay, we made the right move. It's okay. I hope we get something positive out of this.
On. Yeah, they. I mean, look.
But if you're John McDonough, you're sitting there like, hold on. Could I have been a part of a playoff team here and you still let me go?
I don't think that them making the playoffs or not making the playoffs had anything to do with John McDonough being fired. Look, if they were set to make the playoffs so far this season and they were talking about coming back and being one of the guaranteed, you know, playoff teams and not having to go through this mini tournament to get into to face the teams that are leading their divisions, then you look and you say, okay, fine, I get it. But ultimately, most people within the organization, most people close to that team said that the firing of John McDonough was a surprise to everybody. You know, yeah, he wasn't dealing with each and every single, you know, move, but ultimately he was one of the faces of the franchise. He was responsible for a lot of the turnaround with the team, but ultimately that kind of came as a surprise for everybody. So I don't know if they were a better team, I still think it happens, but if they're like a top of their division, then no. They're not firing.
What if they go on a nice run here? What if Corey Crawford does get hot? What if Patrick Kane for 3 weeks is the best player in the world and he finds a way to get it done?
No,
I know. It wouldn't happen, but I'm just saying. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk Hawks with Buck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, let's go to John in Chicago. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Gentlemen, first of all, sell everything. Taves, Kane, everything is gone for draft picks. Tank for 2 years, third year, when is that, 2023, 24? We come back, things are looking bright. Come on, the Blackhawks are a terrible, terrible hockey team. Haven't you seen this product?
Oh, John, I certainly have, John. But if you get a chance to play in this playoff, 24 teams, that's at least somewhat positive, right? Make the best out of it. Now, I wouldn't say that that changes.
The slowest team in the NHL history?
Yeah, no, John, listen, I get you. They're bad. I'm just saying, isn't it kind of fun to look forward to if they get a chance to at least play some games here?
Yeah, of course it is.
For us to be humiliated again?
Come on. You went 2-1 against Edmonton. That's the team you would pass. That's the team you would be up against.
I'm tank for 2 years. Kane, gone. Tay's gone.
Listen, you tell George Mason that they're not good enough. You tell Butler that they're not good enough.
Well,
Miracle. We got Miracle on ice here in the studio, Chris.
This is a hockey night.
You tell this team that they're
hockey
not good
night
enough
in Chicago.
To
this
beat
is
the
it.
Russians. No, yes. I don't think so. The Blackhawks can do something. They can make some noise here. I don't see why. They're not going to win anything. But look, make the playoffs of the playoffs. That's what this is, right? It's like a play-in tournament to get to the playoffs.
Wait, what?
Aren't there two? There's two tournaments going on at the same time,
let's give those details. So here's what the Players Association has suggested. This is what would play out. So when we get to the proposed format, the top four seeds would participate in a three-game tournament during the play-in round. So that means the top four seeds in each conference won't just be sitting idle waiting for everyone else to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
They will play against each other. Now, whether or not that means anything for seeding going into the actual playoff bracket, they have yet to determine that. Then after the opening round, so that would be the mini tournament that would be going on between the four top teams in each conference based on the seeding. Then you would take the fourth seed in each conference and they would face the winner of the matchup between the 5 and the 12. And then the third seed will face the 6 and the 11. The second seed would play the winner of the play-in series between the 7 and the 10 seeds. And the conference's top seed would play the 8 and 9, who would win that conference. So if we take a look at the Western Conference, top four seeds, St. Louis Blues, Colorado Avalanche, Vegas Golden Knights, and the Dallas Stars. The Chicago Blackhawks would be the 12th seed. They would play Edmonton, the 5 seed, in that play-in series. The Hawks are 2-1 against Edmonton this year.
Listen, 12 upsets, 5 every year,
listen,
right?
Listen, John, I'm just saying, 2-1. 2-1 against the Oilers.
West
what do you
Coast
think?
Road trip? Where they like went what 0-7?
Oh yeah, that was bad. That was bad before
yeah,
the trade.
Yeah, that was bad. But this is yeah, this
and they
no,
lost
that was real
to Edmonton.
Bad. I agree.
The first game of the trip and the last game of the trip.
Not great.
I love my Blackhawks, but we need to tank.
There's
tell
no tank
everybody
anymore.
For everything.
This is just a tournament.
Anything.
There's no tank. This is just
can
a tournament.
We tell, no, I. But this year, so we can be humiliated again. I'm thinking long term.
So you think? Oh, no, so you're no. saying, John, if this happens. If the NHL approves this, that the Blackhawks should be, just say, no, thank you. No, thank
exactly.
you. We'll stay home.
Exactly.
No, thank you.
Exactly.
We
thank
stay.
You, John. We appreciate it. Exactly. Just no, thank you. Yeah, that's what I don't get. Like, I don't think that this will, if they expand this to 24 teams, I don't think that they're going to say, oh, we're completely giving up what the draft positions are. I would assume they're going to change that based on what we have in the standings going into the playoffs. You know, they have to figure that out. I mean, yeah. But listen, I get it, John. They're not good. We know that. But it's Hockey Night, Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. I mean, can't you have a little bit of hope? A little hope? All right, maybe no hope. But wouldn't it be fun to see 24 teams play for the Stanley Cup? I think that's all we need to say there.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
To have some live sports?
Because here's the thing. One of the best things in sports is playoff hockey. And you get more of it. Why wouldn't you want this? I think that this is a chance. Now, I'm not saying the NHL is going to do this moving forward. But whatever baseball does, whatever the NBA does with moving their season, if they have to wait and play later and eventually try to delay the start of the 2020-2021 season, I think that whatever kind of happens here, that if it works, we'll get pushed and try to become the norm. If the universal DH works in baseball, that might be voted on to become the norm. If starting the season in December and playing your regular season starting in December and then ending it, you know, towards the beginning of fall before football starts, if that works better for the NBA and gets more eyeballs on basketball in the beginning of the season, then that's what people will do. That's what they want to do. So you're seeing a complete reset of what people might be comfortable with in sports. You know, you might not get the NHL and the NBA season lining up anymore. The NBA might move their season. I think they should. Why not? The NHL, maybe you add more playoff teams. Maybe because people like playoff hockey. Why not have more of it? What does it hurt?
I disagree with your premise here because expanding, like the thing that
you
hurts.
You never want to have more fun.
Well, the thing that hurts basketball in the NHL during the regular season is everyone says everyone makes the playoffs anyway. That's the go-to for the guy who dislikes those sports. It's watered down. Everyone makes the playoffs.
You just spent 13 minutes telling me how cool it would be to watch this playoffs.
Yeah, because we don't have anything right now.
Mm.
You know how fun that would be if you hear this in the background and then boom,
I understand.
Skating up and down the rink?
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I get
that. Yeah,
it.
I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep our eyes on that throughout the night because that could pass this evening, and we might have official news on the NHL returning here in 2020.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Following the hockey news, the NHL trying to figure out tonight whether or not they're going to play in 2020. We'll bring you the latest here on ESPN 1000. Also, a big day in college football. Both Abdallah and myself and Jonathan Hood, we get a chance to host Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, presented by Coors Light throughout the fall. And Coors Light is cold, and the college football is fantastic, and we have a great time every fall hosting that show, drinking Coors Light, hanging out, watching college football. Today was a big day, especially here in the state of Illinois. If we go to our friend at ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, he tweets out this earlier today. Illinois announces a plan for athletes to return to campus in a staggering of arrivals beginning June 3rd. Football and men's basketball athletes will arrive first. Voluntary workouts will begin in mid-June. Plan includes ongoing testing, contact tracing, and arrangements for a quarantine if someone tests positive. So the University of Illinois here in this state announces a plan on June 3rd. Football players can come back to campus and start working out. We saw various other schools within the Big Ten announce the same today. And then also big news from the SEC. And it seems like, Abdallah, as we sit here today, we can keep that ice-cold Coors Light ready because I think we'll have some college football to watch when we get to the fall.
Well, listen, Chris, the mountains are as blue as Boise State's turf, okay? Baby. So let's not get that twisted. But also the Big 12 came out today and said that they have a plan for all their schools to return, the athletes to return. Now, what I have heard is, not heard, this is fact, but like South Carolina, I believe Notre Dame, they're planning ahead for a second wave of the coronavirus. So they're having students arrive 2 weeks earlier. They're going through Thanksgiving, no fall break, and then TBD, right? Like they may be doing online classes after that. They may be doing if the second wave isn't as big as it's report as it could be, then you get everybody back. But this is a getting student athletes back practicing in a safe manner, all that kind of stuff, testing and all that kind of stuff. It opens the door for some form of classes and normalcy to return for kids going to school. Now, if you have a situation, and I've said this from the jump, if you have a situation where you only have the student athletes there and they're the only ones performing or going to classes and, you know, working out and then performing on the field,
mm-hmm.
You open this door of why is it safe for them to be there and not safe for students to be there, and the report that came out that colleges will lose $4 billion if basketball is not played. We've talked about the revenue. We've talked about the profits that these schools make. Football, everything else is dwarfed by football, by the hundreds of millions total around the country, by the billions probably around the country of how much football makes. I mean, look at the SEC, look at Alabama, look at LSU, you know, look at the Big 12, look at Oklahoma. Those aren't basketball schools. Those are football schools. If football isn't played there, the revenue difference, the profits that Alabama makes and LSU makes compared to what they make in their basketball programs or their softball programs, those fund all of those other programs. And if they can't find a way to play, then you're going to see schools canceling sports, just saying, we don't have a baseball team anymore. We don't have lacrosse. We don't have this. We don't have that. And that's going to happen. And then you look at the other side of it where you have to determine, what if an athlete gets this and now you worry about the safety of the student athlete, but it's not safe enough. It's not safe enough for my kid to go to college, but it's safe enough for the other guy's kid to go to college because he plays football, right? So, or it's safe for my kid to go because my kid plays football, but it's not safe for my neighbor's kid to go because he's a math major doesn't play sports. So he's not valued to the university in your eyes.
So listen, Karen, if that's your argument,
I'm
not saying you're Karen. I'm saying if you're the person that wants to whine about this, okay, it's pretty easy. It's money.
Of course it is.
Your kid who's swimming.
But then why aren't you paying my kid who's playing football?
They're moving towards that at some point. That's a different conversation. It's a different segment on the show. You know what I mean? If we go to the column, the financial toll of the coronavirus could cost college football at least $4 billion on ESPN.com. It was posted this morning. Here's why it's simple. Like, all the questions that you brought up are very good questions, and people are going to have those questions. But the reason why college football is so important, you and I love college football, mainly because we love football, right? So, I'm all about watching any football. I think it's great. I think high school football is fun to watch, too. But if you're a college athletics fan of any type, football is important because of the money behind it. And you may say to yourself, I get it. Alabama, Notre Dame, Texas. Yeah, of course, they make a lot of money from the football programs. But really, college football runs all schools' revenue when it comes to sports and athletics. So here's from the column. Here's the estimated 65 Power 5 schools collectively could lose more than $4 billion in football revenues if they don't play this year, with at least $1.2 billion of that due to lost ticket revenue. Each Power 5 school would see at least an average loss of $62 million in football revenue, including at least $18.6 million in lost ticket sales in this year. And you say, okay, that's a lot of money, but really, what does that mean? So here is the athletic director from Oregon State, Scott Barnes. Here's the quote in the column. Anywhere from 75 to almost 85 of all revenue in our department is directly or indirectly from the football program. There's other numbers in here based on almost all ticket sales in college football make up 14% of all revenue that college athletics bring into their universities. So, like, it's not only the fact that the football programs make so much money. Football is really the only true college athletic sport that draws people to come. Thus, the 14% in ticket revenue that's solely based on college football. And you might say, hey, I'm a diehard college basketball guy. Okay, that's perfect. I like college basketball too. But outside of your major schools, who is drawing sellout crowds each and every contest, right? You probably go, what, 5-6 deep in each major Power 5 conference before you start to see some fans' attention start to drop off, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know that Wisconsin, selling out. When Illinois is good, selling out, right? Those two teams, you don't have to worry about that. But are kids going to the Rutger games? No. Are kids going, is Northwestern selling out every game?
Kids going to Kentucky games? No, Northwestern's are selling out big games, but not every game.
Well, but that's
Michigan
my point.
Michigan comes to town,
DePaul has this beautiful arena, Wintrust, right? They're not selling out every contest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's where you look at the sheer numbers of college football. Less events, more people attend them. They make more money based on the ticket revenue. It's just kind of how it works. And, you know, you can turn on an ESPN2 game on a Tuesday night, and you can see a gym that's half full.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can see a smaller gym that's completely packed. College basketball is very different. But the whole point of this is that college football is where the money is made.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important. And so the news today of the SEC, they will be allowing athletes beginning June 8th to come back to campus and go to their universities to start working out. So we see today the news from Illinois, June 3rd. We see June 8th from the SEC. The Big 12 announced today. We see Notre Dame a couple weeks ago say that, yeah, we're planning on having students here in the fall. We're planning on having athletes here in the fall. It seems like the college university programs, they're kind of all getting on the same page.
Yeah, so it looks like as of right now, everything is on track. Now, everything is fluid, obviously, right? Like, if you get a bunch of kids coming back and a couple test positive, then you have to quarantine people. Then you might see a scaling back of the waves of people are coming in. You know, it'll be interesting to see what athletes are allowed to do, how many guys are allowed in the weight room at a time, you know, what kind of, you know, training they're allowed to do. Are they going to be able to do meetings? Is this just more for, like, you know, like if Alabama is holding an offensive meeting, you know, obviously they've got huge facilities. They can accommodate putting people 6 feet apart and all that kind of thing. But you might have to split it up. It's a big football team. And then once you get into doing drills, right? Like, when do you get to, and you know who's going to look at this as a model? The NFL is going to look at this as a model. You know, all these student athletes came in the beginning of June. Can we get people coming in, you know, at the beginning of July? Can we start getting a preseason going? Can we start having workouts? Can we start having team meetings in the facility? Can we stop, you know, because a few people, you know, you look around Twitter, a few players on Twitter are starting getting sick of the Zoom meetings. Like in states that are open, Tom Brady's out there throwing with his guys. Ben Roethlisberger's out there throwing with his guys. So as long as they're not violating, you know, any laws or any guidelines set by their state, they're out there practicing. They're out there running drills. They're out there doing that kind of stuff. It'll be interesting to see if the NFL uses what the NCAA is doing as kind of a test subject to see how soon they can get their players back into facilities at once, how soon they can start practicing, get to a preseason, get to the regular season on time. Because you have to assume, right, Chris, if the NCAA season starts on time, the next week you're going to start the NFL season, right? Like, the only difference
you're supposed
is,
to, yeah.
The only
that's
difference
the way it works.
There's no preseason for NCAA. Like, that's the only difference. is like, if you had practices, you could just, everybody's used to just going and go. You know, the NFL is used to this ramp up, and I don't think owners are going to want to give on the revenue because, you know, as a season ticket holder, you still have to pay for 2 preseason games, and those cost full price.
Yep.
But if there's no fans allowed, then it doesn't matter, right? Then do you care about preseason games if you're the NFL?
No.
If there's no fans anyway?
Ask me if I care about preseason games even if
I understand
them.
That. But, you know, like Fox.
No, ask me.
But I know you don't care.
I don't care.
Thank you for your input. Yeah,
I just want to make sure that we got that out there.
Thank you for your input. But I'm sure Fox 32 cares.
Yeah, no, of course they do.
Fox cares because they run the games.
Yeah, and they have the pregame show and the halftime show and the postgame show, and they can sell advertising for it. I get that.
So there's a lot of that goes into this and moving forward with the most. Because that, you know, you look at these are the three sports that have the most physical contact, too. Like baseball seems like the easiest to get going because it's the least amount of contact. And it's the one game where you can play where as many players aren't, you know, are 6 feet apart as possible. The NBA, they're all over each other. NHL, they're hitting everybody. NFL, we know. So it seems like the sports that are least conducive to the requirements are more likely to get back sooner.
When you look at the whole college football situation, there were concerns with the Pac-12. Whether or not they would be able to get students back to campus and to get things started up again. Then you see the SEC and you see Notre Dame, and they say, you know what? We're going forward. Isn't it funny how the moment the big players in college football started to say, yeah, we're going to figure this out and we'll be safe about it, but we think that we can handle it based on the numbers we've seen in our states. And based on what the government officials are telling us, we're going to have a football season. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Big 12 running in. And here comes the Pac-12 running in. Oh, yeah, yeah. Alabama, USC. Alabama, we'll keep that opener with you. We'll keep that payday. Oh, yes, yes. We'll take that loss.
You're going to take that loss.
Well, of course I know.
Loss in Arlington.
I know.
You're going to like it.
Sam Smith, Bulls writer from Bulls.com, was on a station in San Francisco earlier today, and he called Michael Jordan a liar.
Ah.
We'll hear from him next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
So The Last Dance ended on Sunday, but yet the storylines continue to go on. In The Last Dance, we saw the story of the flu game, right? And we know the flu game and the story behind that. Pizza and game. We heard from Tim Grover.
So we ordered a pizza.
Yeah.
And
pizza,
when the pizza came, there was 4 or 5 guys outside the door.
Yeah. 5 guys delivering one pizza.
Yeah, 5 guys delivering one pizza.
I pay them and I put this pizza down. And I said, I got a bad feeling about this.
Ooh, Tim Grover had a bad feeling.
I pay them and I put this pizza down. And I said, I got a bad feeling about this.
What are you doing?
Then we hear from Jordan, right? Michael Jordan.
I eat the pizza. Yeah. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
Eat the pizza. They could listen to the way he says it.
I eat the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
Listen, I ate half a pizza before I came here tonight, so I understand it. It can be done.
Okay, can we just stop what we're doing for a second? Can we be real?
Hmm.
I get annoyed with my wife when she wants to share pizza with me.
My wife?
Like, I feel like, am I the only person that sees a pizza as a singular item for one person?
No.
I just assume whatever I don't finish, I can finish tomorrow.
So tonight, my wife and I had pizza. We made 2 pizzas.
You already had dinner?
Frozen pizzas. Well, she wanted to eat before I left. She wanted to eat.
You had dinner before you came in?
I ate at like 6.
You didn't bring any for
6:15. I ate at like 6:15. I left my house at 6:30.
Okay.
I ate the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats.
I ate
the pizza.
We made 2 pizzas. One.
His and hers.
Yeah, one turkey pepperoni, because I don't diet on swine.
Right.
And then she made a veggie one.
Okay.
And the idea is that we will, I will eat a majority of the pepperoni pizza, but she will have some, and I will then have some of her. Like, we're each going to eat. Like, okay. She's going to save some of her pizza. I might have some veggie, but, like, I'm going to eat a whole pizza, regardless of how
the
pieces are divvied up.
You have two people, two pizzas. That's the amount you will eat.
But we share the pizzas.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, we...
She doesn't eat a whole pizza. She will save some for tomorrow.
This is what bothers me. I always suggest, let's order two.
Yeah.
And then the response is, then we'll have way too much. Then I'll say, pizza never goes bad.
Pizza never goes bad.
Well, and then, so then what happens? We order one, and then I don't get leftovers because I eat enough of my share in the first initial sitting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she has stuff for leftovers, but playing it fair, those are her leftovers.
So I'll eat like 3/4 of the pepperoni. She'll have a piece, and then she'll eat some of her pizza, and then she'll be like, I'm going to eat the rest tomorrow. This is my pizza, and then I will eat that pizza because she'll just forget about it.
So you know what I do?
You eat the pizza.
No, I just on non-pizza days, I go rogue and just order my own.
You eat the whole pizza.
And then I just get my own pizza after she's already had dinner.
And listen, people are out here trying to make this an internet meme of this is me now eating a whole pizza. We've been eating whole pizzas from the... Like, who's not been eating... Just because day 70 of a pandemic doesn't mean it's okay to start eating whole pizzas. It's always been okay to eat a whole pizza.
If you have a frozen Jack's pizza...
Pandemic or no?
That's like...
First of all...
It's... Well, listen, the only reason you buy those is when you're a single guy in his early 20s, you get like 10 for 10.
What did we get?
That's a heck of a deal.
What did we get? My favorite frozen pizza is Red Baron. Red Baron. I like Red Baron.
All right. Okay, that's fine.
I put this pizza down. I said I got a bad feeling about this.
Bad feeling. Tim Grover wants us to get back to the story. So, yeah, and then Jordan, right?
So, it really wasn't a flu game. It was food poisoning.
Poisoning. Do you hear that? Poisoning?
How do you...
From Michael Jordan?
So it really wasn't a flu game. It was food poisoning.
Okay, so earlier today, Sam Smith was on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. And he said that quite a few things in the doc were complete lies from Michael Jordan. Here's Bulls writer Sam Smith.
You know, there were several things in the documentary that he made up or he lied about. You know, they weren't major things, but it was like, it's like when a TV movie comes on and they say, this is based on a true story. That's what that was. It was based on a true story. They had all the outlines of what happened, but a lot of the detail, like the, you know, like the pizza thing, the poison, that was complete nonsense. And there were a couple other things like that, I won't go into them, but it weren't major. But the thing at the end was a complete blatant lie.
Oh no!
Wait!
Oh no!
Wait!
Did you hear Sam Smith?
He made up or he lied about. You know, like the pizza thing, the poison. That was complete nonsense.
What thing at the end was a complete lie? The end
he
of the
made
doc,
up or he lied about?
No, the pizza thing.
Okay,
like
hold
that
on.
Was at the end.
So, but he doesn't say what it happened then.
Who said what happened? That Sam Smith say he lied, but he's not saying what actually happened?
Yeah,
no, he didn't say what actually happened.
Well, then you can't.
He's just saying it's a lie.
So it really wasn't the flu game. It was food poisoning.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Hold on. We have someone else going after Michael? Is this another source off?
It seems to be in vogue.
Wow.
Well, you also heard that there's the pizza, the supposed pizza man... Was going
yeah,
the
I don't
pizza
care.
Procure?
I don't
was
care.
Going
I don't
around.
Believe that. You're telling me you sat on that for 25 years?
No one cared until now.
Well, yeah, everyone cares about Michael Jordan and the flu game.
But
that is the worst statement you've ever
but
made.
It's not a.
Everyone cares about the flu game.
But no one has ever stepped. We didn't know that the flu game was the pizza game for fact until Jordan said it. People always kind of assumed that it was food poisoning, We didn't get it from the horse's mouth until we got it from the horse's mouth.
But he had people to help him.
So he ordered a pizza.
Right.
And when the pizza came, there was four or five guys outside the door.
Five guys.
Five guys delivering one pizza.
There's like eight source offs going on at the same time because the pizza man says that.
There were only two.
And then Tim Grover was on again with Waddle and Sylvie after he was already on with Cap earlier today. He came on with Waddle and Sylvie and said
how'd that happen?
He goes, I know how to count. I can count to five.
I pay them and I put this pizza down and I said I got a bad feeling about this.
I eat the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. eat the pizza. So it really wasn't a flu game. It was food poisoning.
He made up or he lied about. You know, like the pizza thing, the poison. That was complete nonsense.
So it really wasn't a flu game. It was food poisoning.
I don't know, but Sam Smith saved Michael Jordan's life.
Was he hungover? Was he on a heater?
Don't you think being hungover would be a better badge of honor than just having food poisoning?
No, because Tim Grover made the point that why would Jordan, before a game like that,
go out and get wasted? Why not?
And tie one
up. The greatest of all time.
I could understand it. Now, if you want to just say he was fatigued from heater.
What if that was the challenge he was looking for? Like, listen. I used to run distance. I still run distance.
Might as well try and do this drunk.
Well, yeah. You ever go on a night run drunk? I've done that.
I'm not our friend.
Well,
no.
I'm a cross-country runner. I've done that. Well,
look at you. What do you want, a bad...
You know how far you can run hammered?
You want a cookie? No, not far, because I throw up.
No, well, I mean, you're doing a beer mile, you throw up, you keep running.
Oh, no.
Keep running.
Why are you doing that to yourself?
I'm just saying.
You know, like the pizza thing, the poison, that was complete nonsense.
I mean...
So what, really, what the flu Sam game and, was food poison.
Jordan going back and... Oh, no. Are you serious? Then you also have this
a
week.
Downright, outright, completely lie. Lie, lie, lie.
Horace Grant on Cap and Company calling Jordan a liar as well.
Lie, lie, lie. Lie, lie, lie.
Horace Grant bitter. Horace Grant's talking about how why they put the Scottie Pippen for 1.8 seconds in there. You weren't even on that team.
I mean, it's just...
You're lucky you were even interviewed.
I mean, source off. I mean, listen, Jordan puts out this doc. Everyone loves it. He has some pizza.
I eat the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
Yeah, you know, like the pizza thing, the poison. That was complete nonsense.
So tell us what the story is.
And now everyone's going after him. What's the alternative story?
Why all of a sudden, why is there backlash against Jordan now? Like, why can't you just be like, okay.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Here's my thought. I don't know who to believe, but from what Jordan has been talking about the entire documentary and how open he's been and quick to throw people and not throw people under the bus, but not lie about anything. It so seems he's just like, oh yeah, Horace was a snitch. And there's cocaine everywhere. I don't think he would what benefit to him does it have to say
lie.
I wasn't drunk or I wasn't hungover or
I don't know, but you have team Sam Smith and Horace Grant.
Lie.
You know, like the pizza thing, the poison, that was complete nonsense.
Going against Tim Grover and Mike.
I pay them and I put this pizza down and I said I got a bad feeling.
The other drunk story is why it's Utah. Where's he going out and get? He can barely find food. Where's he going out and get
hotel
drunk?
Room.
He's just drinking in his hotel room alone.
Yeah, you've never done that?
He just wants to get drunk alone in his hotel room just to see if he can recover in time for a finals game.
Maybe he went out.
I don't think so.
Where do you think they went?
I believe
so. It really wasn't a flu game. It was food poisoning.
I just think it's amazing. This amazing documentary comes out and everyone thinks Michael Jordan's a liar.
Lie, lie, lie.
You know, like the pizza thing, the poison, that was complete nonsense.
I don't. So that you, if you tell someone that it's a lie, you have to tell me what the truth is then.
Well, Sam clearly knows, but he doesn't want to say. He thinks he knows.
We may need to do some. Get Friedel. You have him do some Pink Panther sleuthing.
We might have to. I have news coming up for bros in the city. about your summer?
No, is it for bros or is it for girls' Instagrams?
Yeah, I think both. We'll talk about it.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
The golf courses are open and it's time to golf. Our guys from Prop Swap are sponsoring the Golf with Yurko contest this month. You and a buddy can spend the day golfing with Yurko and perhaps even consume an icy cold beverage or three. To register, you can go to our contest page through May 31st. There's no purchase necessary. Just sign up to win. For official rules, go to ESPNChicagoContest.com. That's ESPNChicagoContest.com. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Adam in Westmont, you're on ESPN 1000. On the west side, I'm sorry, Adam, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too much, man.
What's up?
Well, I got a couple of things. Right now, real quick question. If someone's playing with a hangover, wouldn't the alcohol just come out of your body as you're playing? So wouldn't all the other players on the court notice that you smell like booze?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point, Adam, because, you know, the other thing I was thinking of is we've all been hungover the next day, but after you get a good meal and some Gatorade or some Pedialyte in your system, don't you kind of, you know, shape up a little?
Not at 34.
Well, that's true, because not at 34, I'm 33 right now, so it takes a little longer, but you know what? I do agree. You get some, like, eggs and all that stuff in you.
Dude, my hangovers last a season now. Like, it's not, and I'm 35, and so Jordan did that. Like, he finished his last year, he was 35, so he was 34 the year before that. That's when the flu game was. And so,
the whole thing with food poisoning, it happens to you, it happens instantaneously. And no one else on the team had any symptoms of the flu, since we're talking about the Rona and all this.
No, see, that I've always agreed with Adam. I always said that it's weird that no one else, I never believed it was the actual flu game, because no one on the team got the flu, no one on the other team got the flu. And you know, like, just from covering sports and doing this, Chris, like, when someone has the flu through a roster, it kind of goes through the roster. Like, certain guys are spared, but someone else usually gets sick.
Which ones are spared?
Whoever, some people don't get it.
Adam, what else did you want to say?
Oh, I wanted to talk to you about the whole thing about this college thing that's going on.
Yeah.
I went to Northeastern, so it's not a big school.
Right.
It there's no sports at all in there. I did that for a reason, because I didn't want to spend the money to go to a college school where you're actually spending that kind of money just basically to help them fund them. I don't see why you have that in a college. I believe that you should have minor leagues. Just if you want to have college sports, have college sports. But don't start funding it.
Right, so you think college athletics should really be the minor leagues for, like, football and basketball and everything else?
But the thing is, if you're going to start paying, this is the whole problem with the money thing, because it's already so in-depth with the colleges. I believe that college is supposed to be about education. You're supposed to be – there's nothing – like, you can't major in Sportsology 101.
Right, right. No, I'm with you. Good call, Adam. We appreciate it. Right, man?
All right, yeah, have a good one, guys.
You too. Have a great night. You know, and when you kind of look at the whole college system, I get it. It's broken, right? Like, it's ridiculous. The amount of money that the athletes bring into the universities, the fact that they can't make money, the jealousy that comes from that, right? When you're just a normal student going to Alabama University, you don't mean as much as the quarterback who starts for the football team.
No.
But, the reason that campus is beautiful is because of what Saban has built there and what was built there before Saban got there, and the championships and the amount of money that the football program brings into the university. That's just how it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
We went to Columbia College Chicago. They have no athletics. It didn't look like Tuscaloosa, Alabama, all right? Like, it's the South Loop, all right? It was great. We enjoyed it. But it wasn't a college campus like we're going to Ann Arbor. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
There's a reason. And there's also a reason we're here tonight.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Like, you know.
We were doing this at Columbia College Chicago.
You and I have also been to Tuscaloosa, and the campus is amazing.
Of course
it is. And it's amazing because that city shuts down during Alabama games. Even the surrounding cities shut down. We stayed just outside Tuscaloosa, and everybody was focused on game day. The city, the streets shut down, and you just saw how much money the entire economy gets from football games there. And we were there for an LSU game, and it was that times 10.
We have some news from earlier today. Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, at her news conference this afternoon, bad news for all the bros out there. Pour one out for our friends, the bros who are looking to have a summer. The playpen on Lake Michigan will not be open this summer. For all the bros looking to get their bros on, I'm sorry, guys. There will be no playpen this summer.
To all of the Instagram hotties out there, you're going to have to sell a little bit more protein powder because you will not be able to get likes.
What are they going to do?
You will not be able to get your likes and your comments from your Instagram pictures of you in the playpen on a boat, because there will be no playpen.
If someone's listening to this, they have no idea what the playpen is, how would you describe it to someone?
The playpen is a lawsuit waiting to happen. Now, the playpen is a section of Chicago where all the boats, if you have a boat and you're between the ages of 23 and 53, because there's a couple of those out there, you go, you bring your boat, and people kind of tie their boats together, and it just turns into this, like, day party during the summer. And it's notorious for causing delays on Lakeshore Drive. It's notorious for being a drunk fest. It's, and like I said, a lawsuit waiting to happen, because as soon as someone falls off those boats, there's always the whoop whoop. The cop boats that are out there trying to save people.
It's like that spot just north of Navy Pier, like between the Ohio State Beach and the Oak Street Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just packed with boats connected to boats and people on top of people, all having their club out on the playpen. No playpen this summer from Lori Lightfoot. What do you think there, Abdallah? The Instagram models, the Instagram wannabe models, the bros, what are they going to do?
You know, listen, there's other ways to get your Instagram off. There's other ways to get your pictures. Like, you can, here, let me, if you have a balcony, if you have a porch, you could put a fake background behind you. You know, you've got the sun still.
I was going to say one of those inflatable pools.
You could get an inflatable
pool.
You can
get 10 dudes in that little pool, and then you could pretend like you're on someone's boat.
Listen, if Bow Wow can fake being on a private jet and he's flying commercial, why can't you fake an Instagram picture?
That stuff? That you can rent out studios that look like the inside of planes, so then you can make your Instagram look like you're flying on private jets?
Yeah, listen, it's not just selling protein powder and tummy tea.
PJs?
Yeah.
Is that what you call private jets?
Yeah, PJs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. I don't fly on PJs.
I only know that because I watch Vanderpump Rules. That's the only reason.
I only know that because I listen to rap.
Well, so the playpen's closed this summer.
I'm sorry. Listen, for all the... I've actually never been to the playpen.
Neither have I. I've seen it from afar. I've seen it.
I don't know anybody with nodded. The closest I've been to the playpen is when we go to your lake house.
that's not the playpen.
Is that closed?
I think it's open.
That's open?
Monday.
That's open?
You want to come?
Tube is longer than 6 feet, right?
Monday.
Okay, maybe.
I don't think it's the playpen, but it's...
Listen, it works.
Delaney has a boat. You know someone that has a boat.
I know Delaney has a boat. I've never been invited on Delaney's boat.
Neither have I.
I'm not asking Delaney works here at the station. If people don't know who Delaney is...
Well, I'm just saying, you know somebody that has a boat. I wonder if he's crushed that there's no playpen. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there.
Breaking NHL news next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. Ooh,
ESPN 1000.
Yes. Chicago's home for sports. Yes.